swagger, okay? Regardless of what happens out there, doesn't matter. Keep your swagger.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Five Hole Fantasy Hockey Podcast. We're your hosts today, TJ, Zach, and Raj.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey there.
Hey, Raj.
I'm back, baby!
We are just summoning the vitriol. Ooh, we're getting into the rankings, guys. And it's always a contentious few episodes here. We're going to start off with the left wing. I think it's worth saying at the top here, God damn it, Raj. Krejci was who I put at the top of my fucking queue. We're in the middle of a Monday mock.
We're recording on Monday. It's a very douchey Raj thing to do.
It is. I have one more guy at the top of my queue. Anyway, I wanted to put a disclaimer on these left wing, right wing, center, specifically those positions. There's guys like Steven Stamkos in our left wing episode here that are going to show up that we're not including at center or right wing. You know, we have agreed to a position and we're sticking to it. So with this one, Steven Stamkos is going to be in our top 10 left wings. Let's get right into it, man. The way we're going to run this one is each of us have listed off our top 25 at each position. And with that, we take an average and we get a consensus five-hole top ranking. So we're going to be going through this top 10 here. Number one, Kirill Kaprizov is who we have collectively as our top left wing. Raj, you did not have Kaprizov as number one. Zach and I did. You had him at number three, so I'm going to kick it off with you as kind of like the hot take. Whoever's got the hot take of the rank gets to go first. So that's you. You had him down at three.
Yeah, what the F?
I did, but I honestly don't disagree with him at number one either. I think it's really tight. I ended up putting Huberto number one. Just, I'm not 100% sold on Kirill Kaprizov. To repeat what he did last year, just what it came down to me is when I looked at the power plays between these different guys, and that's what set it apart. I'm not super happy when I look at Kaprizov's power play. Obviously, he didn't hold them back last year, but he did have Fiala last year. Oh, shoot, I got to pick somebody here.
So that's a perfect place to stop because Fiala really didn't overlap too much with the power play there. He didn't overlap at all with Kirill Kaprizov. I would argue the opposite, that there's even more onus on Kaprizov to own more of those minutes, to be his own play driver and kind of the sole proprietor of that power play.
Well, and that's, I mean, like I said, I don't even necessarily disagree with that. And he could very well, you know, improve on what he did last year. So the only difference, like I said, I'm 100% sold that Huberto is going to do what he does every year.
Yeah. All right. That's fair.
And Kaprizov could be, I just think it's like a low floor, super high ceiling where Huberto's probably hovering like 95 to 100 points, almost guaranteed, which that was it for me. That was it.
I just don't know how you can be 100% sold on Huberto being exactly what he was. It's on a brand new team. Like, that doesn't worry you in the least. Like, you're 100% sold. This is what you get.
Yep, I am actually. I think he's that good. I don't think it really matters yet.
There is enough of that. The body of work on him is pretty impressive. So it's been like a decade coming with him, and he's finally hit his stride. So I can see the argument there, and really we're grabbing at straws here, picking over one or two points kind of difference. Kirill Kaprizov at number one for me is 50 goal potential, which you're not going to get from Huberto. There's 100 point potential between both of these guys. In fact, I think a lot of our top five, there's 100 point potential. Kaprizov to, actually, I have Ovechkin here too. He could also hit 50 goals, but I think Kaprizov entering his prime on a team that really has something to prove, that really has to lean on him now as the offensive threat. So I have Kaprizov firmly at number one, Huberto at number two. Zach, why don't we dig into your number two?
I had Alex Ovechkin here at number two.
And I like that. I got him right here at number three. You know, he's at number two for all the reasons Raj said, and number three, I'm sure, is going to be backed up by what you say.
Our top three is, you know, just a little mismatched. You know what I mean? I have Alex Ovechkin two, you have him three, I have Jonathan Huberto two. Because I don't get me wrong, I believe in Jonathan Huberdeau and what he is. I just do still have a little bit of hesitation with him going to a new team. With Alex Ovechkin, you shouldn't have any hesitation. He is still going to score, you know, those 45, 50 goals. He is a 100-point potential guy, easily. He takes, like, a ridiculous amount of shots. Like, let's just be honest about that. Just ridiculous amount of shots. And crazy on hits, man.
I think 100 points is rich. Ovechkin at 100 points is too much.
Don't tell me it's not.
I don't think it is, personally. What is his, like, he scores a shit ton of goals, but I think the way for him to get 100 points would be to score 65 goals. Like, the assists are just not tit for tat. Like, last year, he had 50 goals. He had 40 assists, 90 points. That's actually...
just under, you know, 100.
He was a 100-point player back in 2007, 2008, 2009. That was on the back of 65, 56, and 50 goals. I don't see anybody there that's going to get him 50 assists the way that, you know, he might. I think he's a solid lock for 80, like, point per game, and all on the back of goals. And what the extras that he brings is 300-plus shots, 150-ish hits, all those kind of, those hard to find kind of players. He does a little bit of everything.
Yeah, and I like that.
Yeah, I'm not going to blame you for it. I had him here at number three. That's for all the same reasons. You had Huberdeau. That's where you had Kaprizov at number three. But you had a different player inside your top three, and it's Artemi Panarin, who Zach and I both had at four.
Yeah, same reason. I think Panarin's almost a automatic for what he is, you know, and I hate to say it, and I know it'll be disagreed with, but I don't think Ovechkin is automatic that level for goals, for sure. But his hits are going to start to drop off, his assists are going to drop off. So, not saying he's bad, but I think, like, Panarin and Huberdeau, you can count on. I still think Kaprizov has the highest upside of any of these guys, for sure, but I just rely on reliability inside my, you know, these are potentially top round picks, right? Early round two, top round picks. And I tend to be really safe with that pick. That's all.
Yeah. Panarin is comfortably a 100-point player. His 3-year average is 111 points. Just for reference, Nathan MacKinnon, 3-year average is 112. So you're getting a 100-point player.
He's so reliant on assists. Like, he is much more reliant on assists and other people being able to put the puck in the net that I don't have to worry about that with the goals in Ovechkin. On top of the fact that you are getting nothing from any other stat category, he really doesn't take a ton of shots.
It's points league only.
Yeah, and that's what we're in, right?
You know, for a top-level pick, don't get me wrong, I want Artemi Panarin in every single one of my teams. But that's why I'm more comfortable having him at number four outside that top three.
Yeah, me too. I think it's easy enough to fade him in categories leagues where you are looking for that Ovechkin, where you might be looking for that Kirill Kaprizov, where goals are going to be kind of king. So I could see Zach's list working really well in a categories league where it's Kaprizov, Ovechkin, Huberdeau, Panarin. Your first two guys are shot heavy, goal heavy, and then you got two 100-point players behind them.
Because
it's not easy to find 100 points.
That's what I'm looking for out of a first and second round pick. You know what I mean? I'm trying to knock out tons of goals.
Sure. If we're talking about categories league, but we only have points leagues, and that's kind of had a big to do with my decision, because, like, if Ovechkin absolutely is going to be worth more in a categories league, same as Kaprizov, right?
Even if you are just getting minute things, the point ones for all the hits and stuff like that, I want someone that's going to give a little extra that I don't sometimes get. You know, Panarin, you can get a 0.0. You can get no points at all. That's never going to happen with someone like Ovechkin. That's all I'm trying to get at. That, you know what I mean? I'm not, like, you know, we're always haggling and quibbling over the smallest little things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and everybody's ranking is their own. And it makes enough sense here. I'm on the clock real quick. Just going to pick.
I think, am I correct? We all have the same top four.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what, TJ? That's a tier. And I do think that's a legitimate tier, because I think the next level of left wing is a definite drop off. Even though I like the next few left wings, I think those first four are an elite four. So I definitely would concede that that's would be, I would call that a top tier for sure. Because I think there is a definite break.
If you want to start breaking balls, because I think Kirill Kaprizov and Huberto are kind of in their own tier as well. So I would have two tiers set out here. Like Kaprizov and Huberto, those are my first round guys. Ovechkin, Panarin, I'd be happy with those in the second round. Ovechkin went second round, so did Artemi Panarin here. Actually, Ovechkin went first round in this mock that we're completing right now. But Kaprizov, Huberto went back to back. You took Huberto here at number 8. You were gunning for Rantanen. It was a little bit of a technology error there, but it would have went that way no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm where are we here? Am I up? Sorry, no, I thought I
was. So our next, I think it's like 5 mix and match as well. I got Kyle Connor at number 5. Zach, you have him at number 6. Rod, you have him at number 7. So he is our consensus number 5 pick here. And me being the highest on him, I think this is another guy who has 50 goal potential and can flirt with 100 points. So I would even think of him in the same breath as, like, if you miss out on a Kaprizov, you miss out on an Ovechkin. Kyle Connor's right there. He plasters shots. I think he finished the year this year over 4 shots a game. He's gonna shoot a lot. And the chances of him getting, 50 goals is right there. I know Rick Bonus is coming in and that might scare some people, but I like to think that coaches, after they get fired, they kind of take a look in the mirror and they're like, all right, where did I go wrong? Or am I gonna bring exactly what I did into the next locker room? Who said it? It was like the definition of insanity is trying the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. I have hopes that Kyle Connor keeps his minutes, keeps his play style, keeps his deployment. I got him here at number 5 because there's 50 goal potential there and the shots. That's why I like him maybe better than you guys. I'm making my case first off. All right. You guys had, Zach, you had Stamkos ahead. Rog, you had Gensel and Stamkos. Stamkos is right behind him, actually tied in terms of consensus. So here, Kyle Connor and Steven Stamkos both have a 5.67 average for us. Zach, you're the highest on Stamkos. Take her away.
It's still about the points for me. It's still about the points. And it really is all going to depend on whether they go top heavy on that first line. If he's going to be playing with a Kucherov and a point and they go real top heavy and have Stamkos on the left, he's going to have another 100-point season if he plays. You know what I mean? That's what you're worried about here the past couple of years. He's gotten hurt a little bit, has definitely missed some games. But, he played 81 games last year. He kind of came back, and I was definitely worried about that. I was a little hesitant to draft him last year where you think he should be drafted because of the prior 2 years.
So what attitude are you bringing into next year as far as his injuries?
I think I'm ready to love again. You know what I mean? Okay. I'm ready to get back out there in the market and meet some people. And if I, see a Steven Stamkos sitting across the bar, I might come up and say hello. That's how I'm feeling.
He's dual eligible though. You know, they're freaks in bed.
Center, left wing. Lefty too. Lefties give the besties.
He's bi eligible. I love that. All right. Rog, you had Gensel here at number 5. I had him at 9. And Zach had him at 7. I'm curious, first, your thoughts on Stamkos, and then if you want to take us into Gensel, who does make our number 7 consensus pick. So 5-hole average here. It's Kaprizov, Huberto, Ovechkin, Panarin, Connor. Right now we're talking Stamkos. We got Gensel up next.
Yeah, I do like Stamkos because he's Steven Stamkos. And a little edge maybe to the... in an actual draft, because he is center left wing, which is always helpful. Tampa Bay, it's Stamkos and it's Tampa Bay. So you kind of know what you're going to get. Hopefully all of his big injuries are done. Like he's not a guy who's usually injured, but he does tend to get hugely injured sometimes, but I don't think that's really a worry anymore. And he gets a fair amount of hits, right? Like he's over a hit a game, which a guy of his caliber is pretty rare. But yeah, I do like Stamkos a lot. But You know, I'd put him at close to a tie with all three of these guys. I just love Jake Gensel, mainly because I always get him and he always comes through for me. He's my perennial pick. I do think this is Pittsburgh's last kick at the can, you know? Crosby, Malkin, Letang. I know they have a whole bunch of years on their contracts, but let's get real, right? I have high hopes for Pittsburgh and Jake Gensel. It's been a while since they've ever had a whole season of solid lines, you know? So fingers crossed for that. And Jake Gensel doesn't seem to be affected too much when Crosby goes down or when different people go down. So I do like him. And I love his all-around nature, too. He fills out all the categories.
He's a trustworthy guy. You know what you're getting. He is stapled to the hip of Sidney Crosby. And at the end of the day, he's still Sidney fucking Crosby. He's still incredibly totally. Good. Like, people forget about that because he's been around forever. And Jake Gensel isn't going anywhere. He is going to be playing with him. You know, it's not like he gets he doesn't need the power play to get his points. It is still 25% of his points, but he has 20-plus power play points, which you have to love. The shots are there, a little bit of everything, like you said, Raj. You're not getting a ton of hits and blocks, but you're getting something.
Yeah.
I'm actually big on Jake Gensel. He's just so damn trustworthy.
It's showing a little bit of my, especially early round draft style for me. Like, when it's coming down to between two players, I'm always kind of leaning towards the guy who's like, his numbers stay pretty consistent. You know, that is obviously something I lean towards. You can tell.
I want to cap off Steven Stamkos' conversation here with just something to think about. And I'm curious your guys' opinions. Anthony Cirelli had shoulder surgery about a month ago. He has 3 to 5 months left. What do you guys think Tampa Bay does as their 2C? Do you think they move Stamkos down to be the 2C until, you know, what does that put us at? November-ish, January-ish, until Anthony Cirelli gets back? Does that change your rankings of Stamkos at all?
Cannot Brandon Hagel play center as well? Is he not center right wing?
I don't know if he's like that much of a center. If he's a second line on Tampa center, like I feel like they would probably split him up. You would rather have somebody on Braden Point and Kucherov's wing than have that glaring of a weakness. Like, what are your options at that rate? It's either stack the top line and have a bottom nine that you're kind of nervous about, or do you move Stamkos to center?
But, I mean, don't get me wrong. I wouldn't mind seeing, like, a Brandon Hagel and Ross Colton over on, you know, that second line. But it does make a lot of sense to put Stamkos down in the center. And then you'd probably move, a Vladdy Namestnikov up to the top line.
What do you think, Raj? What do you think that does to Stamkos? We're talking about, like, 20-ish, 30-ish games here.
It's always best to play on a line with Kucherov and Point. I mean, but it is Stamkos, and I have a feeling they will stack the top line probably a couple of times in every game, definitely on games when they need offense. So I think when they really need offense, they're going to end up doing that. So I don't think it'll be like a full demotion, you know what I mean? So it wouldn't worry me too much, but it can't be as good to play with Brandon Hagel as it is with Nikita Kucherov. So yeah, it's got to hurt a little bit.
The power play is still going to be there for him, though.
Oh, it should be. So I think, you know, it's not as big of a drop off as it could seem, but it's got to take a few points away.
So out of the three of us, I was the, you know, quote unquote lowest on Jake Gensel here. I had him at number 9. Reviewing mine, I got Kaprizov, Huberdeau, Ovechkin, Panarin, Connor, Stamkos. Those are the six players we've talked about. In between them and Gensel, I had Johnny Gaudreau at 7, Matthew Tkachuk at 8. Gensel, I like him. You know, he's like this 85 to 90 point player in my mind. The shots are good. He plays with Sidney Crosby. The Pittsburgh power play is good. Maybe Johnny Gaudreau here is a little bit of a reach at number 7, and that could very well happen. But Matthew Tkachuk, these are just two guys in my mind that are a cut above Jake Gensel. And again, it's nothing against Jake Gensel. It's just that I like these two players more. I like what Johnny Gaudreau is going to be bringing, playing alongside Patrick Laine. Mm-hmm. I like what Matthew Tkachuk's going to be bringing in the Florida offense. Jake Gensel, you know, you have a fading core in Pittsburgh, though it is still effective. It's just not, you know, Florida or Johnny Gaudreau as a 100-point player playing with Patrick Laine, who's a, you know, 50-goal, potential 50-goal scorer.
So bad.
I did, dude. I don't know what is going on.
That would be a pretty flashy line. No, and I agree with you. I think Johnny Gaudreau has obviously a huge upside, and I love what that pair can be and should be, and whatever lucky center ends up there. But it is the same situation where I think there is a small potential, but there is a potential it doesn't work. We've seen that with Line A, where when he's unhappy, he's nowhere to be seen.
And that's kind of what I'm worried about. You actually had John Michael Gaudreau the lowest there, Raj. But that's the whole thing with me. I still say it's, and it kind of leaks into, there was actually a lot of movement of big players this year. So it is going to be interesting to see how they, you know, fare out on these new teams. The whole thing is with Gaudreau, it's all points there. You know what I mean? It's all points. And if it doesn't work out, if it doesn't click, if they really have to work into it and he doesn't start producing until, you know, mid-year, people are really going to be trading him real quick.
That is let's go back over our top. Where are we at? 8 now? As we talk, Kaprizov, number 1, Huberto, number 2, Ovechkin firmly at number 3, Panarin at 4, Kyle Connor at 5, tied with Steven Stamkos, Jake Ensel at 7, Johnny Gaudreau at 8, Matthew Tkachuk at 9, not to leave our number 10 for nothing but suspense. But if there's anything else you guys want to say on Gaudreau and Tkachuk here, this is the time before we get into our number 10 pick.
I want to say that I like Matthew Tkachuk a lot.
Well said.
I really do. And it's, I mean, one thing I think he's got above Gaudreau, you know, they both had the humongous year together. Now they've moved on. I think Tkachuk is probably a little bit of a safer pick given his surroundings.
John Michael.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
But I really hope Line A Gaudreau works out the way that it could, because that could put both of those guys, you know, to the best year yet, even, I think.
Yeah, you're looking at realizing ceilings just from one addition here. Like Line A with a playmaker like Gaudreau. Gaudreau with the sniper like Line A. It really works for both players, and on paper it's amazing. It's just we have to see it in practice. That is our number 9 pick, Matthew Tkachuk. Finished at an average of 8.67, so there's a little bit of variance there. Number 10, I love this one because it ties in everything that is fantasy hockey. Like, you know, most of our arguments here, you know, this guy should be ahead or this guy should be lower, blah, 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 has been pretty much the encapsulation that is Evander Kane at number 10. Bangers leagues, I'm thinking like even top 5-6 at this rate. Like he is just so good at so much, playing alongside Connor McDavid. The power play deployment is still a question, but everything that Evander Kane does, everything that he's shown us in Edmonton, has us thinking of the ceiling. That's crazy. And it's weird because Raj, you and me both had him at 11. Rod or Zach, you threw the average into the top 10 with a number 9 pick on Evander Kane.
Go. Yeah, I put him at number 9, so, man. I put him at number 9.
You did, yeah.
I'm telling you, I am
a real
big believer in Evander Kane last year. The pickup that you had last year, TJ, where you got him a little ahead of the curve, was honestly a masterful move. It was great, and I wanted to, and I was, you know, I was waiting and biding my time and waiting, and I waited too fucking long.
And that's part of the reason I picked him up so early, is because I knew.
Yeah, and he's just so effective on that line, like so effective on that line in Edmonton. And he's allowed to play his game. He's out there roughing people up. He gets a ton of hits. He takes over 3 shots a game, like on that line along with Connor McDavid. The assists are obviously going to come. You know what I mean? And he is very real goal potential and does everything. I am so huge on Evander Kane this year.
Yeah, he's really going to be like brilliant. He's been going consistently in the third round in our mock drafts. It's a staple inside our third rounds.
Well, I'm honestly, I'm happy he made it into the top 10, even though we both had him at 11. I'm kind of glad he yeah. rounds out the top 10 because he's like the quintessential fantasy hockey player, like you said. And in a categories league, all the categories in there, he's as valuable as a lot of these guys in the top 10. So, I mean, I would put him up on par like with Artemi Panarin, and that's where I think everything changes, right? In a categories league, I think it can be that drastic of a difference.
And if you got Pims, like, we can flirt with top three at this rate. Like, he's
still also so viable in just straight points leagues.
Totally, totally.
Like, even in just points leagues, he is still incredibly viable. That's why I'm also glad that, we got him in that 10 spot. Because he deserves it. He's a douchey asshole, but as far as hockey goes.
Imagine what would happen if he got top power play. Like, it would be insane. It would be insane.
So I have a question for you guys. So this consensus list is not identical to any of our three lists, but how do you guys feel about our top 10 list? Like, honestly, I'm happy with it.
I'm fine with the way it turned out. Yeah. Like, I we all have our own nuances, but with the way things averaged out, like for me, I had Alex DeBrincat at number 10, Evander Kane at number 11. The way our averages worked out, it was Evander Kane at 10, DeBrincat at 11. You know, we all had Brady Tkachuk. I had him at 13. Zach had him at 13. Roger, you had him at 9. The average there puts him at 12. So it's really like, what are we fighting over at this point? It's just, it all kind of works out that way. And he's ranked 12, but his average was 11. So just for everybody's like kind of peace of mind, we'll go through our top 15s. We're not going to deep dive, 11 through 15 or anything, but it'll give you like five honorable mentions to kind of take away with. So for me, I had Kaprizov, Huberto, Ovechkin, Panarin, Connor as my top five. 6 through 10, I had Stamkos, Gaudreau, Tkachuk, Gensel, DeBrincat. Evander Kane's where I had at number 11. Then I like Svechnikov, Brady Tkachuk. Obviously, things are going to change if he is in a categories league. Jason Robertson, Philip Forsberg. That's my top 15. Zach?
As we said, pretty much our top three were very similar. I had Kaprizov number one. I like Ovechkin with his hits and his shots and everything like that. I trust that goal production, and I see it continuing. He's going to hang out in that left spot and just snipe goals. So I'm putting him at number two. Huberto, I dropped him down just because I am a little hesitant about the new team change. Artemi Panarin, again, for me, great player. But I'm worried about it's just the goals and everything, like, or it's just the points. He's much more reliant on assists and everything. Then I have Steven Stamkos, Kyle Connor. I put him just outside my top five at number six. Jake Gensel at number seven. Jean-Michel Gaudreau at number eight. I was the one that got Evander Kane into the top 10. I had him at number 9 with Jason Robertson at number 10 because I'm actually really excited about Jason Robertson. It's not that I wasn't a believer before, but I didn't know this was going to happen. So I do like Jason Robertson. That's why I had him in the top 10. Then I backed that up with Alex DeBrincat. This is like and this is so weird because I know he's going to a new team, but I love the position that he's going to be in. I love this chance that he has with your team, Rod. So I think that's going to really work out. It's almost like I forgot about Matt Tkachuk. I'm not going to lie. So I kind of threw him in there at number 10. He is easily, a possible top 10 player and everything like that. I have Brady Tkachuk right behind him. I was a little lower on Svechnikov than you were. And with number 15, I have Gabe Landeskog rounding out my 15.
Roger, you're top 15.
Well, as I said, I tend to lean, especially in the early rounds, more towards safer picks who are just more consistent, maybe lost some upside by not having Kaprizov and Ovechkin. But I went Huberto, Panarin, then Kaprizov, Ovechkin. So all of our top fours were the same, which I think anywhere in there, you're not going too far off base picking any of those four. Then I had Gensel at 5, Stamkos, Kyle Connor. And the Tkachuk brothers at 8 and 9. I had Matthew, then Brady. I mean, I started talking about them too much last year, and I just have high hopes for Ottawa, which I think we're all kind of excited. Maybe I let that get the best of me. That seems a little high for Brady, but I think his upside is definitely there. Definitely possible of a low side. Then I had Johnny Gaudreau, Evander Kane, DeBrincat, Jason Robertson. And my one guy I had a little bit higher than you guys was Philip Forsberg. Actually, not too much, actually. TJ, you had him right about there, too. I like Forsberg. I know he got a paycheck, and people sometimes slack off after the paycheck or so, people say. I don't believe that. Wouldn't I think you? He's going to have another great year. And then Svechnikov at 15.
Right on. Well, there you have it, guys. We're looking forward to anything you guys might have to say, whether it's positive, negative. Hit us up on Twitter at FHF Hockey, or let's start a conversation inside the Fantasy Hockey Discord. But just know, I'm going to be asking you your rankings. If you have an issue with ours, if you think somebody should be higher, you know, bring your rankings to the table. Let me know what you're thinking, too. Thanks for listening, guys. We will catch you next time. We got Right Wings coming up later this week, which is interesting. We all have the top, all of our top sixes are pretty much the same for Right Wings, to give a little teaser.
Makes sense, though.
A little bit. So stay tuned for that one. We are looking forward to hearing what you think. We'll catch you next time. Love yous.
Love yous.
Love you.